It's Tuesday, 5th of June, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal.
Good evening.
Kayla.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
I'm speaking this time instead of popping like a fish. And newcomer, Shout of Earth.
Hello, hello. It's Alex, for sake of ease.
No, you're going to be known as Shout. Yep.
Or we could do that. That's fine too.
I have to shout everything.
Alex!
We've been doing that for years anyway.
We don't use real names on this podcast because we don't want people to find us, even though we frequently call each other by our real names, except for people just call me Ace.
I mean, I was going to say something, but thank you for clearing that up anyway.
We'll start, as we always do. What have you been doing this week, Cal?
Oh my god. This week, well, I say weekend, was a very frustrating experience with a game that I was trying to preview. Don't know why I chose it. I thought, why not? SOS Battle Royale. Any hints of what the game actually is?
It is a puzzler.
Yeah, I wish it was. SOS Battle Royale is, yeah, it's essentially a Battle Royale game. It's in Steam Early Access. They're charging about £12 for it. About £11, give or take. Don't bother. It's dead. I would say you can read my entire preview when it goes up on the website, but to be fair, the gist of it is just don't bother, because it took me half an hour to try and find a game. 30 minutes of staring at this smug git on the, because the main menu screen lets you choose a character, and I just chose the most obnoxious arsehole, which I kind of didn't now when I look back at it, because it's like sat there for 30 minutes waiting for this tosser. You know, just sort of poking at the screen, cheering, waiting for the game to matchmake, and I was like, oh, forget this. When I eventually did get into a game, which was with six people out of a maximum of 32, I was, well, at least it wasn't 100, like other Battle Royale games. Axe is 32, apparently. Six of us, we had a little run around, a little lobby area, very, very much like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and as soon as the little plane, Airbus or whatever it may be that they used, I can't remember, I think it was just a plane, the game decided to just close itself. Just no error message, just gave up. Just really completely stopped working. And even Steam did the whole little closed off, synced, and then there you go. I was like, I'm not bothering them with that again. So yeah, apparently it was supposed to be some shitty Battle Royale game. Set on a fictional island, a bit like Survivor, and you're a contestant on a reality TV show. It was all fun and games. Awful, awful game.
It doesn't sound like you've had a game.
I didn't, no. When I looked into it, originally though, it was supposed to be, before it was Battle Royale, it was supposed to be this cooperative game, a bit like Seat. Where you're like, you're thrown in with a group of people, like, I think it was 16 players, and you can either decide to, you're on this island, you have to collect these relics from some monsters or some sort that are on the island, and you have to grab a relic and try and extract from the island. And in that time,
that
you can do.
Sounds kind of like a Hunt Showdown.
I don't know. I've not played Hunt Showdown. Is that very similar? Where you have to hunt for something?
Well, I watched a psychopathic stream on our channel ages ago before it hit early access. It took him about 45 minutes to join to get into a game after lots of false starts. Frame rate was abominable, but you teamed up with someone and had to collect relics and fight monsters.
It's probably a lot worse than that. From what I saw from the video clips and the screenshots, so like you can either like work together with the other people and sort of communicate with them as a group, try and defeat the monsters or shoot the monsters or wherever they may be, collect the relic and leg it, or betray, sort of weed your way in and then sort of steal it at the last second and fuck off out of there.
Teamwork, that's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Like every team-based game. And, yeah, all the Steam reviews are just, like, just overwhelmingly negative. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a treat. But all the people are saying is, like, before this went Battle Royale, this was a really good, interesting little game. But then they go and fuck it up and make it into a Battle Royale game. And I was like, oh, fair enough. But yeah, be sure to check out my preview when it comes out very soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Kayla, what have you been up to?
I'm still playing Enderal, still playing it. I've reached that point though where the NPCs have sort of said to me, oh, this next mission, you might want to go do everything else that you haven't done yet because you may or may not be able to come back. So I think I'm on the last mission now. So I'm going through finding all the side quests that I haven't done yet, finishing that off. Yeah, still really, really enjoying it. For those who don't know, Enderal is the total conversion mod for Skyrim, and it's just an entire game on its own, and it's arguably better than Skyrim itself, just in terms of story, gameplay, progression, just everything. So yeah, I'm still going for that, still enjoying that. And I've been introduced to a rhythm game as well, courtesy of Nikki.
You're welcome.
Was it Tap Sonic Top?
Yeah, Tap Sonic Top.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. It's like an anime-themed, what do you call it, like, pop group? No, like, oh, you might be able to explain it better than I can.
So, hang on. Gonna Google it and find out what the definition. Well, it technically is. So, Tap Sonic Top Music Grand Prix. Never let the dyslexic try and read. But no, it's a typical rhythm game. But I believe it's by the people. It's by NeoWiz Games. They did DJ Max as well, which is I think recently came out. Like a newer version came out as well, so it's quite a well-polished mobile game. It's got some trashy songs in it, but they do get better. And yeah, we've kind of, I think we've both put a fair bit of time into it so far, and we haven't spent a penny, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely, and it runs on the whole like stamina thing. Whenever you play a song, use a bit of stamina, you can run out of stamina, so if you were to just play it all day long, you would get to the point where you then have to wait for your stamina to recharge before you can play it, but I've been playing for about.
Pay for it to recharge.
Yeah,
presumably.
Or you can pay for it.
Yeah, thought so.
Well, sounds better than paying to, you know, untangle yourself from Devil's Snare.
Oh, yeah, the Harry Potter.
To be honest.
But yeah, I mean, I've been playing for about 3 days and haven't had to wait at all. It's just a fun little thing, just jump on every now and then.
Okay, just mentioned there, the Harry Potter free to play mobile game. Anyone who's tuning in hoping to hear Catty's this past week in the Harry Potter mobile game, he's on holiday, that's why he's not here. So, sorry if he got your hopes up last week about that.
I'm sure he's got plenty to tell us when he returns, because if he's been away on holiday, it means plenty of mobile gaming.
I know he's been taking lots of pictures on Twitter with just the word nice. Oh wait, he's gone to Nice. All his tweets make sense now.
Wow, just
Nikki, what have you been up to?
So besides playing Tap Sonic, I've had a pretty good week of gaming actually. As I mentioned just before we started, I think yesterday picked up Agents of Mayhem from the Fanatical deal because it's super cheap and it looked like a piece of fun shit, so why not? Started that today and yeah, it's alright. It's not perfect. It's clearly missing a lot of polish. I can understand why it didn't get as much hate, but it has that sort of mindless, I'm going to just shoot things with hilarious characters. Although the developers, I think, and this is a general message to all developers, firstly, British people don't say ya at the end of every sentence. And second, it's data, not data. Get it right, you fucks. But other than that, I moving on.
So angry.
I picked up finally Prey the other day, the 2017 release. I don't know why I didn't get it straight away.
I thought you again, played the original.
No, I still long for the cancelled Prey 2. But I picked up that and I thought, I like Arcane games, this would be good. 22 hours later, I finished it and I'm quite ready to go through it again, to be honest with you. Holy fuck, if you... I'm going to swear day to day, sorry. If you haven't played Prey and you're looking for a good sci-fi game that literally everything you do matters, pick it up right now. I don't know why I was so late to the party on this one. It is so good, and I was continuously engaged, guessing throughout, and like even to the very last minute, I was like on the edge of my seat. And it was Arcane through and through. Like when Dishonored first came out, I finished that in one sitting on launch day, and then I've played through it like six times, I think. And Prey had that same joy. Like, it's so good. I'm sure there's a review on the site. But my review is play it. It's amazing.
It's a very good game. I wholeheartedly agree. That's why I fought so hard for it to be the game of the year.
I still need to go back to it.
It's interesting as well. I haven't played Dishonored 2. I'm going to pick it up soon, though. For whatever reason, again, like Prey, I sort of just forgot about it when it came out. But I know Dishonored 2, a lot of people have a few gripes of it, and I'm aware of some things that towards the end of the game it's a little bit doesn't seem to have the same charm as Dishonored. But playing Prey, I kind of feel like Arcane probably just went, you know what, just get Dishonored out the door, because Prey is so much fun to play and make, let's just make that amazing, because it's just to the very last second, it's so good. I also managed to cheese and break the last bit of the game, which was hilarious, because, not really spoilers, but there's a bit where you've got a few people sort of in an area that you can't really kill them, you can't bring any weapons out, but I managed to slaughter all of them using a cigarette box.
Smoking girls.
Creativity at its finest.
Okay, Nikki, what have you been up to? Not Nikki. Shadow of Earth. Read the
I was going to say.
The new one.
I was confused for a second. Yeah, I had a pretty... Well, it was exciting for me, if I'm being honest. I had a US account on my PS4 set up specifically for the new BlazBlue. It dropped today in the US, and doesn't drop until the 22nd in the UK, or EU entirely, I'm not entirely sure. But basically, I'm not going to wait more than 2 weeks for that. So, yeah, I sat up until about 4 in the morning, about 5, I think it was, because that was midnight for the US. It was obviously it thought I was American. So yeah, that's I've been basically pouring all of my time into that today, and learning the ins and outs, the characters. I sort of noticed it a few months ago. I'm a bit of a Ruby fanboy, and I noticed that the main cast are actually appearing in this game. It's like, if anyone who doesn't know, it's like an anime fighting game. BlazBlue is a ongoing series, even. Quite a long history. And this one just happens to have a bit of a crossover theme. So it's got some characters from BlazBlue, Ruby, so Rooster Teeth's web show. I recommend watching it. It's better at the beginning. And then there's characters from another fighting game. I believe it's Under Night in Birth, I think it's called. I've actually never heard of it before, but it's. I think I might look at it now, because I'm quite enjoying this one. And characters from Persona 4 Arena, which, this obviously Persona 4 fighting game spin-off, which I also forgot existed. But yeah, it's been so far a really, really good experience. I've spent like the past 3 days playing Dragon Ball FighterZ leading up to it, because it's the same company as Arc System Works. It's just trying to keep my hype levels down a little bit. To tide myself over with some Dragon Ball, getting completely stomped because everyone's better than me now, which is a shame. I was good on launch, but not anymore. And that's sort of what I've been looking forward to the most. And I also gave just this weekend gone, I gave No Man's Sky another pass. I don't know if anyone else has actually given that a try recently, but
yep.
Yeah, it's significantly better than it was last time I played it.
It's that next update out yet?
No, it's July.
Oh, okay, I didn't know it was actually July. I was going to say they were, it was still in the works, but I didn't know there was a release date.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Because I went back to No Man's Sky not too long ago after all the updates, because I thought, hey, this would be, let's give it a go.
Yeah, that's what
I ended up literally spending my entire time on the same planet just building a base and then realized that I wasn't progressing to the center of the galaxy. Did you have that issue, or have you been progressing forward steadily?
See, that's the thing. It's, you know, the whole idea of progression is, it's very subjective in this game. For what you consider progression, it might be going towards the center. They do have a story mode they didn't have on launch, and so if you played it, you know, day one and then came back now, it does have a path to follow, which I think a lot of people's gripes were with that. But I spend most of my time, I suppose I do sort of follow the main path, but I go on massive, massive deviations for hours at a time, and just, you know, once I land in the solar system, I'll avoid the the waypoints and the markers and everything for a good, like, few hours, and just go around all the other planets and look for crashed ships to steal and resources to mine. And it's not everyone's sort of game, because it is one of those almost never-ending things, and a lot of people just want a goal to work towards. But yeah, I was quite impressed with how much they've changed. I did enjoy the base building, same as you, Nicky, actually. I just probably spent a bit too long on that. But yeah, I don't know. It's possible to move forward, but I think as long as you're enjoying yourself, you're progressing in any sense, really. That makes sense.
I do admire Helene's dedication to that game as well, considering how much hate it got. And...
Well, good God, I mean, did you follow it from the beginning? It was atrocious. What was his name? Sean Murray, was it? The director? Or developer, whatever his name was. The amount of things he told us were going to be in it, and then they just weren't. It was just blatant lying. And that is just really, really bad. I can't remember another example of that sort of thing happening in recent memory, at least. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. For what they've done, turn it around has been admirable. It's just a shame that they had to lose so much reputation in the first place, really. But yeah, that's been my experience recently.
Okay. Personally, I played a bit of Viva Piñata on the Xbox One through Rare Replay. I played it years ago on the 360. I just wanted to dabble in something the other day, and that was installed on the Xbox, so I went on that for like 3 hours. Been playing a bit of Black Desert Online for this review, which I'm hoping to see some different sort of gameplay rather than just go here, kill this, go there, kill this. We'll see. And I made huge progress on this ranking the Marvel GameCube games article I'm working on. I played through Marvel Nemesis Rise of the Imperfects, the only EA Marvel game, for a reason. Fantastic Four, Hulk, The Incredible Hulk, Ultimate Destruction, X-Men Legends 1 and 2, Ultimate Spider-Man, and of course Spider-Man 2.
Just saying that name, I already have the Pizza Time theme just in my head, just going round and round and round.
Giant lizards.
Yes, I've got to say, as fun as Spider-Man 2 is, the only reason Ultimate Spider-Man doesn't beat it is because of the Venom portions. If it didn't have that, it's more fun. But since it does have that, it really drags the game down. Right, our first news piece, Elite Dangerous has announced Chapter 2 of their Beyond Free, quote-unquote, season. They released Chapter 1 towards the start of the year. Chapter 2 is coming in June. Well, it is June, towards the end of this month. It's bringing a new ship, the Challenger. Wing missions, well, new types of wing missions so you can play with your friends. Different types of megaship interactions. And a heck of a lot more aliens, the Thargoids.
Best name for aliens ever.
Yeah, the new ship is going to be the Scout. That will buff other scouts and increase their combat efficiency.
Right, so you have like a little fleet of small ships.
Yeah, I have lost track of how many types of Thargoid there are. There was just the big ones, and then there were small ones, and now there's mediums, a couple of different medium-sized ones.
Yeah, I've seen updates for Elite Dangerous, and I keep getting tempted to go back to it, but I don't think I could just play on my own. I think I'd have to play with someone else to keep engaged for sort of a long period of time. I didn't play Elite Dangerous that much, but I've got to say, it still has some of my best gaming moments in any game. Just how tense everything gets. There was one moment where I was after a bounty, and I accidentally tagged another player. So of course, immediately I then get a bounty on me, and all the other players chasing the bounty that I was after all came after me. And I managed to escape with something like 1% hull, whatever, with my cockpit all destroyed. And I had to get back to the station as quick as possible, and I literally landed less than 2 seconds of air remaining to just sort of set down and repair my ship, and that was so tense, so much fun. But I just can't be dealing with the 10-20 minute travel times. It's just, it's not engaging to me.
Well, they've kind of improved the long travel times with the first chapter of Beyond, because you can set Galmet to read to you, so you have something to do rather than just set course and watch Netflix.
Brush up on your lore, I guess, as you're traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of cool.
Shout, have you played Elite Dangerous?
Actually, I have not. I've heard quite a lot about it. I've got quite a few friends, actually, there's a small circle of them, that do play it, so I only ever hear conversations from the outside. From what I have seen, because I looked it up a little while ago on Steam to see if it'd be worth picking up for me. It does look interesting. I'm not gonna lie. The entire concept of it, and having all these ships you can change for your own gameplay style. I don't know. It's not something that's on the top of my list, but I'm seriously considering it. And obviously, now that they're still giving it such regular updates, yeah. I think it might be worth a look.
Yeah, you've got your hardcore fans who every update it's still not good enough.
That's for any game.
on the whole, they have improved it. When it launched, it wasn't. It was a fun game, but now it is a much better game after all these updates. After it's been out for a few years.
That's going to be a running theme here today, isn't it? Just games that were released that were a bit lackluster and a bit shit, let's be honest. And after a few updates over the years, they're actually going to get quite a cult following.
Well, speaking of, Evolve has... it's been announced that Evolve is no longer going to be available in its Stage 2.
Evolve was still being...
Yes, it was released as the free-to-play Evolve Stage 2, except for consoles, which was still the full-priced Evolve. If you paid for Evolve, you'll still be able to play it after the server shut down. It has something called Legacy Evolve, so console owners are still going to be able to play it. It will have multiplayer, peer-to-peer multiplayer, and single-player, solo versus AI, and that's about it.
I'm honestly really surprised it's still going at all. But it was still going this whole time. I had no idea.
I was going to say, I mean, does anyone really care about Evolve anymore? I know there was some interest in it when it went free to play, but
I think it died so quickly after its release. It's just everyone just kind of forgot it as a thing altogether. I know I did.
It's all that
it's
DLC.
Because they really badly marketed the DLC, because if you see, there's map packs, there's monster packs, so if I want to play with my friend who has that, then I need it. But that wasn't the case with Evolve. They just didn't publicize that well enough. So people still thought that, my mate has Goliath, I can't play with him because I don't have Goliath. But that wasn't the case. You could still play, and those people could use their characters' skins and monsters, and you could use your characters' skins and monsters.
See, that's actually quite a lot of foresight they've shown there, but yeah, if it wasn't pitted well, that's a waste. And a real shame, because it was such a great concept when it was first... I remember when it was just first being released, it was such a cool concept. It's just the meat of the game wasn't really there, and given to understand.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad game. It was quite fun if you had some people you knew, but as you say, it died so quickly.
Yeah, I think it was the marketing, because I remember seeing the announcement for it and being really excited, and then just nothing, and just it kind of just...
disappeared, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if you still play Evolve, you have, 2nd of July, the virtual currency bundles are going to be removed from Evolve Stage 2, and then 3rd of September... dedicated servers are going to shut down, so you will only be able to play the Legacy Evolve if you already bought Evolve.
You've just
been relying on Evolve Stage 2, then tough.
We got the news out, all 5 people that own it still. That's good.
It's quite a shame, because our sister company, Game On, put out a special edition Evolve magazine for free, because our editor-in-chief was really looking forward to it. Speaking of Game On magazine, this episode of Greencast is sponsored by Game On magazines, with a monthly digital gaming magazine, as well as free Paladins community magazine and official Smite magazines. It's your one-stop for gaming magazines. Visit GameOnMag.com for more.
I love that subtle advertisement out there.
Whatever pays the bills.
Yeah, your one-stop shop for... Just go digitally.
For speaking of free things, such as free digital magazines, Sea of Thieves, The Hungering Deep... has been announced, has been released. Yes, to tell you more about this are people who know about this.
Welcome to Pirate Corner with Nikki and Kayla.
There's a Megalodon!
Yes! Holy crap!
It's not just a Kraken anymore.
And, alright, before we even continue, I want to just point out to everyone who is listening, yes, the Megalodon has a body underwater.
Who said it didn't have a body?
The Kraken, if you actually... The Kraken, although you're not supposed to be able to see it, because obviously the water goes all
inky. It didn't have a body?
There's no body. It's really funny.
Just a bunch of tentacles hanging out.
Is the Megalodon just underwater, or does it actually attack you?
Oh, it goes. It really attacks you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't had a chance to play it yet, but we've watched a lot of videos. So the Hungering Deep adds a load of new content and a new time limited event, but all the content will be staying once I think it's a 2 week period. So I think you've got one more week, and then I think it goes technically over, but everything's staying as like a persistent threat. So I'm not quite sure how that works.
Yeah, but it's just limited time rewards during those 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. I think that's how it works. But you go on a quest, you do some stuff, you learn a few shanties, and you have to basically take revenge for a gentleman who's lost his eye, his arm, and both his legs, and is actually sober. And yeah, you summon the Kraken. I think it takes the Megalodon. Thank you. It takes six people, so there's an encouraging co-op play, and the video we watched, it was two sloops and a galleon, so six people, and it was a bloodbath. They ended up having to just all get on the galleon because they needed to keep bailing, because this thing, you know, it's not just swimming around. And I want to point out, it's about a third of the size of a galleon. Like, it's huge, as a megalodon should be. But it'll jump out and bite at you, it'll crack holes in the ship. If you're not careful, you might get launched off the ship and then end up face to face with the four-eyed beast.
It genuinely does like throw you off of the deck constantly. If you stand on the wrong side, like on the side that it is tackling at that time, you will go flying. And then, as you said, you're just right next to it, and that's not where you want to be.
And you've really got to be careful of your positioning of your ships, because it knocks even the galleon around. So if you're parked quite close to anchored next to the ships, there's a chance that you'll just get bashed into each other and just cause even more damage.
Yeah, there's quite a funny video I saw where the Megalodon jumped out, bit a galleon, which then sent the galleon on top of another galleon. And obviously, because the game sort of auto-corrects the ship's positioning, there was so much friction that by the time the ship had got back into the water, there were so many holes that these two galleons just went straight away. I need to jump into it. But from what we've seen, it's really good. The Reddit for Sea of Thieves actually is quite happy for once. And if this is the way they're going to be delivering content going forward, I think Rare's onto it. And as they said as well, this is the smallest update because this team's had the least amount of time. So it means that the next update, which I believe is Cursed Sails, has had a longer development time, so will be a bigger content drop. And again, for free. Still no word on when the cosmetic store's coming in though. That's gone to the back burner for now.
That's probably a good thing, because people were worried, oh, they're going to bring that out first to cash in as much as they can. But now they're focusing on free content. It's good.
I'm not sure if it's a bit cliche to call the thing, well, specifically the fight with this giant shark, is it cliche monstrous? Because it is terrifying, and I can't get over. I convinced, like, three other people, I think, just to get this game purely because I noticed we didn't have enough as it stood, and I was so excited to try this out. I was sure, you know, I did this whole side quest itself is actually, I call it a side quest, but this whole quest is actually really in depth, and it's really well written. You know, there's a pull to solve and everything. You're not just given like a waypoint to go to the right place to look for it, and you know, you're swimming in ruins underneath islands to look for stuff. Yeah, it's really, really well done. The atmosphere is incredible, frankly. But, it's definitely worth checking this game out now if it wasn't before. I think it's another case of one of those ones where it just wasn't really meaty enough at launch. There just wasn't really enough to do. But this one certainly bolsters it enough. And if got more free updates like this coming, then I think this is a really good time to pick this game up and have a look at it. If you've got a big group of friends, don't play it alone. For the love of God, don't play it alone.
I think some people do enjoy the lone play though, just have a, because it is a very relaxed game.
That's
like,
true.
You can play it very relaxed. Like if you just want to go and just sort of chill out on the open seas, go get some treasure, you can do. And then if you want to go and mess some people up, you can.
if you want to float around in single player, that game came out years ago on the GameCube. It's called The Legend of Zelda.
Wind Waker. Do not get me started on Wind Waker. We will be here for hours.
That's well, from one thing I don't know much about, Sea of Thieves, to another thing, Destiny 2 Forsaken expansion has been revealed earlier today.
Pipe.
Nikki, what is it?
That's me. Hang on, I was going to get up the little bullet point list. Destiny 2 Forsaken. I like Destiny 2 a lot, so here we go. And following on from Curse of Osiris and Warmind, we're getting, in true Destiny style, a yearly expansion. So on September 4th, Destiny 2 Forsaken will be releasing in the vein of like the Taken King. And by the sounds of it, it's going to do exactly what the Taken King did for Destiny 1, which is fix the bloody game. Not that the game is broken, but it has a very vocal community who don't seem to like anything. So let me get up the bullet point list quick. You can tell I'm prepared. So, the premise for Forsaken is we're going back to the Reef. Basically, Cade 6, you know, best boy, who's been spending a lot of time putting people in the Prison of Elders, they've all escaped. Everything's gone fubar, and we're basically going on a space western, which immediately makes, I think, people very happy. I know you're happy about that, Kayla.
I like space western stuff.
So we're going to hunt down 8 big Baron bosses and their crews, and each of them, even though they're fallen based, look really unique, that was shown in the trailer. Which takes us to a new location, the Tangled Shore, which is basically the asteroid belt around the Reef, so that's going to be kind of interesting and cool. They're saying new enemies. It's not really a new race. It's just kind of like really weird ass looking fallen. Like one of them kind of looks like he has a tumor on his chest and should probably go see a doctor. I think the main takeaway, new supers, 9 new supers apparently. Not classes, but like basically every class is going to get a new super for each elemental type. So Titans, if you like hitting things with a hammer, you are going to get a two-handed hammer in the vein of the axe from Rise of Artin. There was a warlock ability that was shown off where you teleport around and then do like a big Kamehameha, which you're happy about, Kayla, because you get to move.
Yeah, because warlocks don't need much.
Hunters, you get throwing knives that are on fire. I don't think I need to elaborate on that. You get more throwing knives. There's some others that obviously they haven't shown off at this point as well, because there'll be more details revealed at E3. We're getting bows. They're a bit late to this one.
Space bows.
I think
you mean like in Warframe?
Pretty much, actually, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought when I first saw it, to be fair.
So there's 3 types. There's the short range, mid range, and long range ones. So I'm kind of excited about seeing how they work.
Yeah, it'll change things up a bit. We're also getting, I'm literally just running down the list, we're also getting a new game mode, which is a hybrid 4v4 PvE PvP mode. It sounded a little bit like a MOBA at first, but it's not. Essentially, 2 teams of 4 are in their own arenas, basically racing to kill, collect enough points to summon a boss, kill the boss, win. But at periodic times, one person from each team can invade the other team and just kind of delay them. And this is called Gambit. Excuse me, just burping. New exotics, weapons, armor, stories, new raid in a new location, which they've said is an actual destination, the Dreaming City. But as people progress through the raid, that environment will change. They're going to have to elaborate on that one, because to me it sounds like you can go to this destination like anywhere else, but the people that are doing the raid will influence it. But I don't know. And probably the main thing as well is no season. There is a new season pass, but no DLC in the style of Curse of Osiris or Warmind. It's just going to be free content updates, as in the number 3, not as in they're free, you have to pay for them, called Black Armory, Joker's Wild, and Penumbra. And they will just bring new content to the Forsaken story. So it looks like we're going to be stuck with the Fallen Forsaken story for a year, they deliver a good one, then who cares? And yeah, there's a lot more to sort of go into, but you know, that's the gist of it. It's more content, random weapon rolls, increased vault space, power levels are coming into, you know, Iron Banner and Trials. There's a lot to cover, to be honest with you. And you can pre-order it today, but no physical release by the looks of it, which is a bit poopy. And breathe.
They'll soon bundle it up as a whole package, just like they did with the Taken King. But I've still got the other two pieces of DLC to finish before I can think about more. But it looks good, actually, to be fair. It looks like they are slowly trying to redeem themselves. But it is, as you said, it's very much just like Taken King. It's this is what Destiny should have been as a complete package. And here it is again for two.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one as well, because, you know, there's three companies working on Bungie, yet they seem to push content out quite slowly, let's be honest. Like, they push content out quite slowly, but they have been fighting a losing battle.
Isn't one of them Certain Infinity, remember right?
I think it's Bungie, Vicarious Vision... And what was the other one? High Moon Studio is the other one that's working on it.
They made Deadpool.
They also made the two best Transformer games ever made.
Yeah, they got brought onto Destiny. Like, they literally, because they did Deadpool in 2013, they worked on Advanced Warfare in 2014, and since then they've basically been Bungie's bitch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got mixed up. Certain Affinity are the Halo guys. They are the ones who are working with 343, and they're the ones who basically did Halo. They also did the Doom multiplayer, which was garbage in comparison to the main game.
I just want to point out, though, that looking at Wikipedia, the number of employees across the three companies is, bearing in mind this data is subject to change and probably inaccurate, it's nearly 1,000. And, you know, For a 1,000 strong team, it is a bit like, come on, guys. You know, it's, I don't know. But again, it looks like, you know, they've realized, okay, yeah, we need to fix a lot of things to make the community happy. And again, in the vein of the Taken King, that Comet release, as they call it, I think this will sort it out, and hopefully the community will stop whining. So year two of Destiny, look forward to it, and we're going to see Awoken people, which means we might get to see the Queen again, and I love her, and I want to kiss her.
I thought it was interesting in the trailer video thingy they released, where they outright stated that they've been working with the community on this. Did they not learn that lesson with the first Destiny? What were they doing with Destiny 2 before now?
Oh, no, you go, Cal.
I was just going to say what Ace said. If I remember right, I read somewhere that Bungie brought in a load of YouTubers or massive Bungie fans, Destiny fans who knew the lore and sort of understood the lore, maybe for their input and their feedback on how they would take the story next. That's what I read.
And the answer was, take it to Firefly.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've got Nathan Fillion already for the game. Just do Firefly.
It's a weird one, though, because they've been doing these community summit events where they bring in the community, and that's what basically gave us Escalation Protocol in Warmind. And they made a big deal about how the community were like, oh, we want it really hard, harder, make it harder, we want this to be the hardest challenge ever. So they did. And then from the second it released, everyone's like, it's too hard. Can't do it. Why am I not able to do this? And they're like, well, because you need to be top level. No, can't do it right now. So it's shit. So they've had to make it weaker. And it's like, on the one hand, Bungie, your community are idiots, and you need to actually remember that. And on the other hand, community, you're a bunch of idiots. Shut up.
Welcome to rant time.
Yeah, unfortunately, Bungie, I think, are, and this happens with every developer, we talked about this last time as well, but I think Bungie are unfortunately in a position where right now they probably have the most vocal community, both for positive and negative. So they're having to sift through quite a lot. But I'm confident. And for those of you that are like, it's more paid DLC, it's only $34.99, so it's not a full £60 release. So, yeah.
It's still a lot of money to people.
They've released £60 DLC?
Well, Destiny 2 was what? A full retail release, which is usually £50, £60 or dollars. And then you had the expansion pass for Curse of Osiris and Warmind, which I think was 25? I don't remember, because I basically threw a lot of money at them for the special edition, which came with it. So I paid more.
I mean, at the moment, if you were going to pick it up now, you could, like, the Humble Bundle, for example, last month were giving it away for, like, $12. It's also gone down in price on some websites. The season pass is £30, because that's what I paid. Foolish me. And, yeah, this new content is £35 standard. But that doesn't include the annual pass, which is an extra 20?
It bumps it to, according to Battle.net, it bumps it to £59.99.
Yeah.
And then if you pay £70, you'll get the base game, the annual pass. Bearing in mind the annual pass is content that won't be out until later in the year, and two additional drops next year, you also get... You get a majestic legendary bow ornament, a paladin emblem, and a sexy green ghost shell for an extra £10.
Oh, very worth £70.
Very well, moving on to other news, which includes a lot of money. Paradox Interactive are acquiring Harebrained Schemes, the developers of Shadowrun Returns and the recent Battletech. It was announced today that they're going to pay a fixed purchase price of $7.5 billion? Million dollars?
What did you say, billion?
What's a number in six
zeros?
Yeah,
no, it's a million.
Million.
Yeah, $7.5 million, plus an additional purchase price corresponding to 25% of the acquired business's earnings before publishing costs over the next 5 years, to the extent such earnings exceed the fixed purchase price. So they're basically saying they're going to spend $15 million on Harebrained Schemes, which is fair enough. They're a decent company.
Can they spend that on me?
You'll have to ask them. Of course, the fans of Paradox and Harebrained Schemes are worried that this means that Harebrained Schemes are just going to start churning out DLC for Battletech, as Paradox has done for literally all of their titles. Apparently, it does not mean that Harebrained Schemes are going to be making games using Paradox IPs, such as Victoria and Crusader Kings, because they want to continue doing tactical games with rich stories. And I believe those two examples are more of a free-form game.
So it sounds like it's just more just a handover, sort of like, we own you now, but we're not going to interfere what you'd like to continue to work on. We just make us money.
Yeah, apparently for now, at least, everyone who's in charge of Harebrained Schemes are still in charge.
Should we call that just an easy $7.5 million in the pocket then, or...?
Yeah. anyone? Unfortunately, Alex is away this week. Hamilton, because he is very much the Paradox fan of the pod.
He loves Crusader Kings and Hearts of Iron. Is it? I think Hearts of Iron 4. I want to say,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what Paradox games I've got. I think I've got Hearts of Iron.
I own several, but they were all free at some point on like Humble Bundle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I remember Crusader Kings, I think, was free at one point. But then you got to remember that game has a shit ton of DLC for it.
Yeah, but does it have as much as Train Simulator?
Not as pricey as Train Simulator.
Nothing has as much as Train Simulator.
Bungie, get on it.
I raise you The Sims 3, which total DLC is more than I think. I actually forget. I think it's like 3-4 times the price of the actual game. So, the Age of DLC, Paradox everyone. Did.
So you don't know the Train Simulator DLC story where it's... How many thousands of pounds?
Alright, I stand
it?
Corrected.
I'm just going to double check.
We need to look into this.
I'm back down.
Paradox also. Paradox also published Cities Skylines, which was an awesome game. Which is what.
I believe that's got some more DLC coming out soon.
It has, I think. Yeah, I might.
Just proving the
what a running theme.
Paradox games get
there's
a lot
not
of DLC.
Many. There's. I mean, they kind of did make a DLC, just have like...
They've only got a handful.
Guys, there's been more DLC released since we last checked. It's now £5,020.31 for all of the Train Simulator DLC. That's on the top of spending £20 for the... Wait. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 versions of the game plus $5,000 worth of DLC. So you've got the German Classics Edition, the UK Classics, US Classics. Oh no, sorry. Here we go. Train Simulator, £24.99. But that doesn't include the US Classics, UK Classics, German Classics, free weekend bundle. Trains him at oh my god!
You buy the base game, which is £25 as you said, but then I don't know the US, UK, German classics, are they just individual packages, or they're among the £5,000? I think they're among the £5,000 ones.
I think they are. So a correction, sorry, because apparently you can't buy this game on its own. You have to buy it in a bundle. The game itself is £20, but in the £25 bundle, you get a random free add-on for a train that looks like it should probably not be running. I can't even read that because that's in German. North Wales coastal route add-on, and you also get a San Francisco route add-on, which is usually £45, but you get it for £25. Someone has bought all of this, haven't they?
Someone has, yeah.
Someone.
I'm sorry, ever since we started talking about it, I've been scrolling through the DLC and I'm still at the bottom. I think that kind of speaks for itself.
Some of the DLC is expensive, is just as expensive as the base game. Like, there's a DLC for £25, which is literally South Wales coastal, Bristol to Swansea route for £25.
Right,
could probably get a ticket for that.
Focused on this DLC for the second time for far too long.
ask Rash if has he got all that DLC?
We'll move on to our main topic, which is about next week, E3 predictions. What's everyone looking forward to?
Nintendo.
What do you think's going to come?
I don't know. Xbox is no doubt going to show off some exclusives, because that's what they're really lacking in at the moment. Exclusives. They're doing quite well console-wise with the Xbox.
What exclusives?
Yeah, Halo.
Been lacking in that for years, haven't they?
Gears.
Because I'm sorry, but if they come on stage again and do the whole "We've got Tomb Raider, it's exclusive," I'm gonna go and slap them, because it was like, yeah, you had the exclusive release for one of them for 1 year. That's not an exclusive.
I don't even have Minecraft anymore.
I hate that when they do that, because you know how like this coming to PC as well, but they can't say it's coming to PC, so they're like console exclusive. And it's like, That means it's clearly coming to PC, which means I don't have the bother. Yeah, I hope Xbox does get some decent stuff. Sony, I hope, will announce possibly a PS4 Pro Slim or price reduction. I know in one for the games. Was it Play for Games event? And yeah, if that's the case, then I might pick up a PS4 Pro because I really want to play God of War. I don't know about Nintendo.
I'm hoping we find out some more about whatever Roxton is working on next, because they've been quiet since they fixed Arkham Knight on PC.
Oh yeah, it could be a well, there's rumours of an Avengers game, but that might not.
That, no, there is an Avengers game that's from Crystal Dynamics.
Oh, of course, yeah. Sorry, what would Rocksteady be doing then? Justice League game.
Maybe.
That'd be
being released to coincide with the DVD.
That'd be crazy if it's like you get they steps on stage and like you get an announcement for an Avengers game from Crystal Dynamics and then an announcement of a Justice League game from Rocksteady. Like, who do we choose?
And just like the movies, they won't be anywhere near as good as the Marvel ones.
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm actually finding that to be true with the GameCube games. The Marvel ones are of a much higher caliber than the DC ones were.
Marvel just nailed it with so many. Like, even their older games. I remember playing like the X-Men games on the Super Nintendo. And I was like, even this is good. Like, the side-scrolling beat-em-up ones. Even frickin' Ninja Turtles. I don't know why I said Ninja Turtles.
Something else I'm hoping we'll see is about this Prey DLC that they've been teasing.
Or is it going to be a standalone? A bit like they did with Dishonored 2.
Though that was actually really good.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit too late for DLC.
I still need to play it. I really enjoyed Dishonored 2 after they did a few patches to the performance. But yeah, I overall enjoyed it.
I think it was
not as much as the first.
Was it Nikki earlier who said Dishonored 2, like, a lot of people had a few gripes about it?
I didn't have any gripes with the story. I was really enjoying it. It's just the performance issues I had on PC.
Right. But for anyone who had issues with Dishonored 2, I'd say that you'd probably pick up Death of the Outsider then, because it just patches up everything. It was honestly really, really good for a standalone, which we might as well call it a DLC, but it was, yeah, I really, really enjoyed that more than Dishonored 2. I probably couldn't say why. Yeah, that's just my two cents.
Kelly, you've been pretty quiet. What are you looking forward to see or hoping to see?
Fallout 76. What is it? We get there's so much speculation and
if it's an MMO, I'm going to kill myself.
I don't think it will be. They've already said it's pretty much going to be standalone. We will have online elements though.
That's what I'm scared of.
I don't know who. Somebody. Who was it that tweeted? Someone from the company said if you're forward to a
no, that's a guy from Kotaku.
Oh, okay.
But sorry to interject quickly. As I was reminded by a friend of mine, that source, he claims that came from people working on the game. Now, I argue, why would people working on the game want to leak information anyway? But whatever. But it is worth noting out that Kotaku are actually blacklisted by Bethesda. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I sat and watched that bobblehead stream for far too long. So yeah, I need to know what's going on with this. Yeah, and what else? Devolver Digital?
Yep.
Their last one was insane, so I hear they're back. I'm slightly scared and intrigued what they're going to be doing. For those who didn't see last year's, just go and watch it on YouTube. It's bizarre. It's very bizarre.
If you have a fear of blood, don't watch it.
Okay, not as many theories and hopes as I was hoping.
I've got one. Which, it's not going to happen because Sony hate me. But Freedom Wars 2. It's never going to happen, but I want it. And I can, every E3, I just want them to announce Freedom Wars 2. Because if you never played Freedom Wars, it was probably one of the best Monster Hunter-esque games on the Vita. And it was just, it had such great potential and like promise for a good sequel. But seeing as the latest Sword Art Online just basically copied their combat mechanics and did it really shitly, I don't know if we'll actually get a second one, but we shall see.
Okay, and with that hope, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Cal, Nikki, Kayla, and Shout. Make sure to check out GameGrim.com next week for news and write-ups for all of the E3 conferences from a number of our talented colleagues. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast. You can find GameGrim on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 p.m. UK time every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrim.com. And while you're at it, game on.